Alrighty, everybody, welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that covers everything Ashes of Creation related. My name is Frenzy, the Variety MMO Gamer, and I am joined by my brother, Subjective.
Hello again. Good to see you all.
And today, we are, you know, we got a lot on the menu, but if you're new to the podcast, we just kind of break down different information through dev streams, conversations, just things we're interested about and talking about related to the game. And just kind of talking about it, asking questions, theorizing a little bit. Today we're kind of reacting and talking about the March developer update, which just dropped yesterday. And really the main focus was about the fighter archetype, which is pretty cool. If you're not familiar, the fighter archetype is definitely a melee heavy archetype. And it was definitely, I would say, the biggest focus, as we got to see a lot of the abilities. But we did get to see some, like, the quest system and some of the group combat as well, as a few other things, which was pretty cool to see. But, I mean, let's just kick it off. Like, what did you think, Sub, of overall of the fighter archetype?
I thought it was a great showing, period. No, but seriously, it was very interesting. You know, usually with the showings, they're short and sweet, but this one they went crazy with a 98-minute long in-game
super long
stream. Yeah, super long. And I honestly think that it was great. Like, they showed off so much. So they showed off skill trees. They showed off all the skills so far. They showed off some of the weapon mastery trees, which was also pretty cool. And they're not finished yet, but it was pretty cool to see what those could do. And then they actually showed us some pretty hard gameplay at the end, which I thought is a great way to finish it off. So you can kind of get a, you know, kind of get a feel of how this archetype plays. So,
yeah. So it started off essentially, it was just really just showcasing all the abilities, all the things like the fighter can do. And then it kind of really transitioned, which I thought was really cool. It transitioned into really, like, it was more like, hey, like, a let's play. Let's just go, like, mess around and, like, do a quest and kind of, like, group up and, like, see some of the group combat. So I really liked it. The fighter, I was very impressed. I honestly, like, I wasn't too hyped or, like, even, like, thinking about, like, the fighter as, like, an interesting class. You know, I played a lot of D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, and usually the fighter is not, like, the best class, and obviously this is a different game, different thing, but, maybe that was kind of, like, you know, putting, like, a lens on it for me. I thought it was gonna be a lot worse than it was, but, like, it looked awesome. Like, the melee, like, I thought, like, just the animations of the fighter looked really cool. Like, what did you think? What I was trying to think of, like, what to compare it to, like, in a, you know, a major mainstream MMO, like WoW, because, like, I definitely could see, like, elements almost like a warrior, maybe like rogue, kind of like where you have, like, those, like, combo points and stuff like that that you can kind of, like, spend. In this case, it was like momentum. Like, momentum is the big thing. You still use mana to cast your abilities, but momentum lets you, I guess, use certain abilities or do certain things or kind of gain like passives, like, depending on how much momentum you have. So I don't know, what did you kind of think of, like, mechanically, like, kind of how the fighter played?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, I'm not just gonna say this quick. I do think it's kind of weird that they use mana, but again, I have not played it, and I also wanted to mention that, yeah, I was not interested in this archetype, and then, like I said, I saw it in action and I was like, I was kind of blown away with some of the crazy things you can do with this class. One, so yes, you want to compare it, what you just asked me. It compares to Arms Warrior in World of Warcraft, which is a two-handed, you know, wears heavy armor, you know, smacks stuff in the face. It has, like, a charge ability. I forgot what they call it. What are the, do you know what they called it in, was it Blitz? I think it was Blitz.
Yeah, maybe it was Blitz.
So, yeah, so they have, like, a charge ability. So, like, it's kind of like a gap closer, which is kind of obvious if you're a melee class, but... And WoW, you can kind of charge up steep terrain and cheese it a little bit in the game. But in Ashes, you can actually, because the pathing is better, you can literally just, he could charge him on the ground normally, but then he went up, then one of the guys went up on the cliff and he jumped, and he did the Steve playing the fighter. He did a jump and then he clicked Blitz and then he charged at him on the cliff.
Yeah.
which was probably one of the coolest things I've seen, because we all know, I mean, if you ever played WoW for any time, the path in that game, like, especially if you played a hunter, like, your hunter pets will, like, run, like, if you jump off a ledge, you'll run all, your pets will run all the way around it and, like, aggro everything. So, that's one, I guess that's one thing I noticed that was huge upgrade over WoW is, like, the coolness factor of, like, oh, there's an archer up on the ledge, I can just jump, do a little jump in the game and then hit blitz and charge him up there on the cliff.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. I don't know. What did you think about
it? No, I thought it was great. Like, there's like some verticality to like the movement ability. It's not just like you said, like, you know, I've played like, you know, games where it's like, you can, you know, you use like a charge type ability and they're above and you just run straight into a wall, or like you trip on like, or there's some like rocks or something in your pathing and just you get stuck. And so the fact that there seems to be some easy verticality to it is really, I like that a lot. I want to jump back to something you said too, because I'm kind of interested. Like you said, you didn't like that, like maybe that they use mana. I'm just curious, like why don't you maybe like that?
It could be because I played 19 years of WoW, and they do use different resource bars. Like, I'm not opposed to this, but it seems to me odd. I guess maybe because I did play WoW for so long. You know, yeah. Warriors, which I kind of compare the fighter to in WoW, use rage. So, like, you have zero rage all the time. And I guess fighters in this game kind of have a rage-like mechanic, except it's called momentum, which
mm-hmm.
is different. But yeah, I don't know, like, it's kind of managed in two different, it adds a little more complexity when you have to have two different, bars to manage. I'm not inherently opposed to that, but I'm not sure, I don't know, I guess I'd have to really try it out to see how mana would work for, so I'm pretty sure all the classes use mana.
Yeah.
So.
It is interesting, and like, so you and there's nothing wrong with like that. I was just curious, but it is kind of like interesting that everything shares mana. I kind of like that in theory, because like that makes, you know, maybe like, you know, sharing, maybe if all classes kind of share the, you know, mana as like, you know, what they're using to use abilities and stuff like that, maybe that, even though you might be managing multiple things like momentum and mana, for example, like it does kind of add that commonality of like, oh, well, at least we all know like we use mana and kind of how that functions, versus like, you know, if you played a mage your entire life in World of Warcraft and you go to playing like a warrior, then like, oh, well, how does like the rage system, you know, work? Or if you go to play a rogue, like energy, you know, so like, and I kind of like too, maybe this will make things better for like, you know, if you're an alchemist and you make mana potions, right? Okay, we all share mana potions, like, to use our abilities. So, like, you know, maybe that opens up some opportunities for, like, you know, crafting. Maybe it opens up opportunities for, like, oh, crap, I'm, like, short on mana potions. Like, we can just share and stuff like that. I don't know. I kind of like it, but I definitely get what you're saying. It can add, like, you know, maybe too much complexity depending on the class and, like, its abilities. And, I mean, we haven't really seen a lot of the classes. So maybe it will be even more complex with other classes. We just don't know.
Yeah, and you make a good point there. Like, I'm not inherently opposed to them using mana. It's just, it feels weird to me. This is a personal point of view, you know, because I did play WoW for 19 years, so a lot of people, it would be weird for a WoW player to be like, why is a melee class using mana? I guess you could say ret paladins and WoW use mana, but, like, eventually they evolved them to just not really use mana. Their mana bar is basically just for self-healing, and everything else costs zero mana. So, I mean, yeah, it's good to have a universal, what do they call it, resource that all classes can use. So, I guess we just got to see. And also, it's not balanced. You know, it seemed like he was out of mana a lot, but, you know, they got to balance it. We're not in balance phase here. So, we got to really see how it plays out.
Yeah,
it's just weird to me, that's all.
And some of it too. I mean, man, Steven's playing all these classes, and so I imagine it's probably not simple to just, you know, pick up a bunch of, like, a new class and really know how to play. Because I remember towards, like, I think the end of the showcase of, like, the actual abilities, like, one of the developers was like, oh, make sure you use this ability because you can help you regen mana. And so he's like, oh, I forgot about that. So, you know, it could be things like that too. Like, maybe, like, you know, if somebody's, like, a a fighter main and like, you know, they're used to the class, maybe it would be less of an issue. Or maybe if they're, if you know, we're talking, if there's like potions and like other things that can kind of gear, like who knows, like how it all kind of like, maybe it will be a little bit better. But yeah, I'm
Well,
go ahead.
just so you know, he was drinking mana potions as a
Yeah,
fighter in that video, so.
I did see some of that,
So,
but
yeah.
I did think it was interesting. There was like an ability, I guess, that can help with mana, but I don't think he was, I don't think he was using it that much or maybe at all even.
Well, yeah, I mean, Steve is the creative deck director of the game, but that doesn't mean he actually designs the classes. So, like,
Right.
yeah, so he may play them in these videos, and maybe because he doesn't know what his, I mean, he probably knows what his team is doing, but you know, you can't micromanage an entire team. So like you have the class designer for the fighter who designs all these systems and then, you know, goes to Steve and is like, hey, let's try this out. And then
Yeah.
he plays it and see how it goes, you know, because he makes the ultimate decisions because it's his game, right? But he doesn't design them, but so
It
yeah, I
just
mean,
okay.
I'm just gonna say, I mean, yeah, he. A lot of people were saying. I wanted to point out that Steve at the end of the thing said he said someone in Discord called him a boomer, which I thought was funny because he was playing kind of slow and like, but I think he was doing that. Like, I don't think he does it on purpose. He might, but maybe he wants to play a little clunky. So when people like he said he was like I want he literally said I want people. When Alpha 2 starts to get on the fighter and show me how it's done. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
So
and I think too, like I said, like maybe at most, maybe he's played it for like a few hours too, like, and he's going in with like all abilities, like he was changing like his, you know, his spec and stuff like that throughout it, and so like, I mean, I imagine if I was being thrown into like a max level character and like just trying to like figure that out, you know, it's sometimes it takes, you know, dozens of hours, sometimes hundreds of hours to master your class and kind of learn all like the nuances and stuff like that too, so. You know, him maybe playing, I mean, we don't know how long. I mean, maybe he played for a few hours, maybe he's played for more, but you know, it's not, you know, I don't think he's going in as like you know, an expert on the class, you know, a person that's played it for like 100 hours and knows every little detail about it. So that could be a factor too, and maybe it being a little bit slower, a little bit clunkier, not using the right abilities and things like that too.
Or he could be going in blind and be like, hey,
Yeah.
you know what? You guys are designing this class. When we do the showcase, this is the latest build. Show me. Show me in real time. They could just be that open
Yeah, I mean
about
he
it. It's like it could be
does.
the latest build and he'd just be like, I mean, he liked it.
Yeah, I mean that could
So
definitely be the case. Maybe he's only played like a little bit. He's only gained like some familiarity, or maybe it's more of like he knows it from like a design perspective versus like actually like sitting down and putting in a lot of time too. So, you know, there's a lot of different things, but I mean I came away definitely impressed. Like I thought the Ranger was really cool. Like when we got to see that showcase, we got to see the Mage, which I think maybe. You know, we did get to see the mage kind of in group combat, and like I thought it looked a lot better from even like the showcase that they did. I don't remember how long it was, but it just seemed a little bit more fluid, and like some of the abilities looked a little bit better. And so, you know, it's pretty clear they're not just like, even though they did a showcase of the mage a little while ago, it seems like they're still continuing to like improve, like whether it's through animations or abilities and VFX and stuff like that. But I don't know. What do you think about like the role of the fighter? Obviously, it's kind of like a melee DPS character. I kind of said like when we were setting up the podcast, I was like, you know, feels like the fighter in theory is kind of like somewhere between you would think like a tank and like a rogue, you know. But in terms of like the rogue, maybe does a little bit more damage and is a little bit weaker, and the tank is obviously a lot stronger but does less damage. But I don't know. I mean, because it seemed fairly tanky. Again, we don't know like what gear he had, what access to, you know, things, or maybe it's just not balanced, you know, right now and things like that. But just overall, like, what do you think about like the fighter, the role it plays in the game right now, based on what we saw?
Well, without mixing it with other archetypes, just what they showed today, it looks like a very heavy AoE melee DPS class, at least from what they showed. Just lots of AoE spells, good chunks of mobility, It's almost like like I said, it just I'll compare it to like what I know, but also like it looks like it, I'm gonna do this like from a PvP perspective. It looked like a fighter is like you're gonna charge in there and you're just gonna unleash tons of AoE and damage. And yeah, you'll be a little tougher. Like rogues might be more better at. It's called they have rogues, right? I'm sorry. It's called a rogue. Okay, so rogues might be better at picking off single targets, right? But like a fighter, from what I saw, it looks like he just blitzes in there and just goes crazy, like spamming AoEs like crazy, and just it looks like a frontline character. You know,
Oh,
you
yeah,
could
for
take some
sure.
hits and you just spam tons of AoE, from what I saw.
Yeah. And the thing too is like sometimes hard to tell too, because like when he's like showcasing different abilities, now we get to see it a little bit during the group combat later, which was good, but like, you know, sometimes he's like spamming the blitz ability and you're like, oh my god, this character's gonna be like flying all over the map. But obviously, you know, he's not using like cooldowns a lot of time just to showcase things. I thought it was cool too. Obviously that blitz ability where they're, you know, they can jump up and have verticality is really good. But I think one of the questions I remember when we were talking about like the class overview is like how is, you know, the melee combat gonna like fare? You know, because typically, you know, ranged typically has, you know, kind of an advantage, or they have to, you know, the melee has to rely on like, you know, crowd control, CC, or like, you know, gap closers. But I thought it was kind of cool too that like the fighter had, in addition to gap closer, like blitz, it also had you know, quite a few abilities that had like, you know, cone effect, so they could like reach out. He had quite a few AoE abilities too, which was pretty cool. That can be helpful when you're kind of tracking people down. But I also thought it was cool that like there was definitely some abilities that added just like to the overall speed of the fighter. Like, you know, it was like increased the speed so you can actually just be faster. Like that will be something I think is really interesting, like when we're talking about like fighting mages or rangers or any kind of range type of class that like, you know, maybe one of the ways you can kind of make up the gap in addition to like those closers is, you know, just being faster overall. So I kind of like that. I thought that was just like another additional thing that'll make hopefully melee combat versus range types be a little bit better too.
Or with the talent trees, how you can kind of like they showed off. I forgot the name of that. He did like a conal smash
Yeah.
ability, but then he had a talent where it would send out like a what was it like a blade? I don't know. It's not like a blade, but it was like a small lined thing that shot out way further than the small cone
Yeah.
that you shoot out, and it can reach really far. So it's kind of like you could turn that ability into. Not only does it add a little more single target, but you could poke with that ability at long range targets. So
Yeah.
those are some coming that was one of the cool things I definitely saw. And also the cool thing was that with the whirlwind, one of the whirlwind talents they had,
It's spin to win.
he would spin, and then at the end of the spin he would do one last like uppercut as a single target damage on something, or how you can control the cataclysm. You stand still, the ability, but when you're casting it, you can turn, so it gives you some. I like seeing that, because it's like when you want to cast an ability and you can't, like if it's easy to move out of, like I think that adds a lot of awesome ways to play melee,
Yeah.
from what I saw.
More versatility. It's not just reliant. Like, one of the things that I always kind of sometimes bother to, I think mostly I played like ranged characters typically. I've kind of lately, I feel like maybe I've been more of in like a melee mood for a lot of RPGs. But, you know, one of the hesitancies for me is like a lot of the times they're just based on like crowd control abilities, right? That's kind of how, you know, you have a gap closer, you CC, you know, and that's kind of like how you, that's your like your main moveset for like dealing with range types. But I just thought it was cool that there was like some different things too, like increased speed and things like that. There's also too, we didn't really talk about it yet, but there was the oh gosh, I need to remember the name of it, but the forms, like where you could kind of like go into like different forms. So like I'm dealing with ooh, what was it? Like I think one gave you, was it better resistances? One was better like speed maybe, and then I
One gives you like more attack speed. I think one gives you more attack speed the more momentum you have. One does more damage, I think. I could be wrong on that, or generates more momentum.
Yeah, I think it was attack speed, just speed, maybe. And then I think there was one something to do with resistances. I can't remember if it reduces resistances on your target or if it like increased your resistances. I don't know. It was something like that. But you know, that adds like a whole nother layer too. Like, you know, having that as an additional way to kind of move around, or like if you're trying to like really target someone and like focus them down with like your speed and like your attack speed and stuff like that. So really, really cool.
Well, yeah, one of them, I definitely know one of them. I think it might be form of fluidity. It's like where you attack, the more momentum you have, the faster you run.
Yep.
And which I think is a cool idea. And you can switch between these, but I believe you lose all your momentum when you switch. So you kind of like stance dancing for WoW or Warriors in WoW back in the old days. Like you would have to, like you could, like charge was a base gap closer for Warriors in WoW. But you couldn't use it in combat, so you could swap to Berserker stance and use Intercept, which you could use in combat. So it feels like this gives you, this is a little more depth to it. It's where you can be like, you're in someone's face, what do you need movement speed for? They can't cut you that well, you might as well just pop your, you know, form of celerity. Is that how you say it? Celerity?
What was, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Form of celerity? The one where it gives you attack speed.
I don't even know what it was.
Every time you build momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. But anyway, basically, the more momentum you have, the faster you attack. So, like,
yeah.
if you don't need gap closers, you might as well just pop attack speed, right? And just pump out more damage. But, like, if you're chasing a ranger or something, you're probably going to have form of fluidity on. So, as you gain momentum, you can, you know, have move speed and, you know, catch up with them. Otherwise, it'll cut you a lot. So
yeah,
I do think this is much more interesting than stance dancing and WoW, because I feel like it just feels better, like it's more control.
Yeah, I think it gives you like more versatility, and like maybe like you can like lean into like a certain play style, and just more option. I think it just adds another layer of like complexity in a way that's gonna like make the players who are more skillful be better at combat, right? And I think that's really what it's all about. Like when I play a class and like I really get to like, you know, put some hours into it, to me it's like the more I play, the more like, you know, experience I have, like the better in theory I should end up being than somebody who is less skillful or less experienced or whatever. So hopefully like these types of things all kind of add up to that experience. And you know, the better, you know, the more skillful you are, the better you're fare in combat and things like that.
Actually, now that we just talked about forms real quick, I have a interesting question to throw out there that people could maybe think of. Like, so we saw Whirlwind, right? It's like a spin up. He spins up and, you know, AoEs everything. So like maybe if you have your attack speed form up, right? Maybe you spin faster. That would be kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Like you actually get more spins off. Or if you have the movement speed form up, you can actually move faster while whirlwinding.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, because there's gonna be like, I imagine there could be a lot of different things that like play off each other, like combo off each other. You know, we haven't even really talked about like weapon mastery and like all the like, you know, additional things that's gonna play into it. Like that is one thing too to say about the fighter. Like we did get to see the fighter and a lot of the abilities, but like, you know, he was using, you know, a two-handed weapon. So like I know you mentioned kind of comparing that to like an arms warrior in World of Warcraft. So like I'd be curious to see, does like a, you know, a sword and board warrior play a lot differently like with that weapon mastery, or using like, I don't know if you can like dual wield, or like you know, maybe you have access to like a bow, like if you're, you know, going into the you know, adding like the ranger as well as like your secondary archetype. So, you know, we got like the traditional, maybe comparable to the arms warrior, but you know, it's curious to see if it will play differently based on like the type of weapon you're using, and you know, kind of like how you like spec differently into it too.
Yeah, I mean, actually now you mentioned that, it almost kind of reminds me of like Path of Exile, where there's a kind of like a melee class in it called Champion. Oh. Right.
Yeah.
And you can actually use a bow, since weapons aren't restricted in this game. You can actually use a bow and go a physical bleed bow build, which would actually I think be kind of cool if you could do a class that maybe you mix the fighter with, I don't know, rogue or ranger, and you could be like a ranged bleed guy or something. Yeah. I don't know. That'd be kind
of
cool.
It definitely would. All right. You mentioned Path of Exile. I feel like this gives me a good transition into kind of another question I have too, which we've both played Path of Exile. I think that, you know, we've both enjoyed Path of Exile at various points. It's a really good game in its own right. But one of the things about Path of Exile is it is very complex, right? In dealing with, like, there's just a lot of different systems. There's a lot of things going on. You know, kind of like your quote-unquote your skill tree that you progress through is, like, you basically have to find a guide online. Do you think, just based off we saw now, again, everything is in flux. Things can change. We got to see both the skill tree for the class itself as well as the skill tree for the weapon kind of mastery is what I'm calling it. Do you think it looks too complex? Do you think it looks just right? Is it, like, too simple? I'm kind of curious to see what you think about that.
From what I saw, it does not look too complex. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think the best way to handle these types of situations, yes, Path of Exile is a very complex game. Yes, you could dump thousands of hours into it and become the build maker instead of the build follower.
Right.
I personally don't like that, but I'm glad games like Path of Exile exist because, you know, there should be games because like that. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
But from what I'm seeing here is it does not look too complex from what we see. But I think a good way is you can make a class more complex with these types of systems or less. But I think the best thing is like having choice. Like, if you have, you have the weapon mastery tree, you have your talent tree, maybe you want to play a fighter, but you don't want it to be so complex. Like, they showed a thing off where, like, you can change your 3-hit combo to a 4-hit combo for more damage. Maybe that's too complex for you, and maybe you spec into, I don't know, a different passive or something. So, I think having the option of making something more complex for people who like that is good, where also having maybe more passives for people who don't like super complex things is good also. And then you can also have a middle ground, so you have like super, you can turn the fighter into a super complex thing with lots of actives and procs or whatever. Something maybe you like that, right? Or maybe you can make it into more passives and you just use your base abilities, but it's just more passive-y, so you can play more casually. You don't have to worry about modern and all your buffs or your 4-hit combos, maybe just like 3-hit combos. I mean, I think offering both would be a huge benefit, and maybe that's where the class system comes in. So like maybe playing a double fighter might be less complex, or like I said, they could do it through the talent system or maybe the combo or the class system where you mix with a secondary class. So
yeah. Definitely. And yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like, I obviously don't think it's like Path of Exile level of complexity. That I think that's its own thing. Like, that's its own level typically. But you know, one of the things that, like, I was trying to like think of some comparisons because, like, you know, games that are like easy to master or easy to learn but hard to master. Like to me, that always is like the most ideal game, I think. Because, you know, some games, like, they have, like, a really high barrier of entry to play. And they can still be really good games. Like, I play Escape from Tarkov, and, like, that game has a very high barrier to... Because there's so much to learn. Like, there's maps, there's guns, there's everything that you have to learn, quests. And so, like, it has a very, very high barrier. But if you can get past it, which it took me a while to, it becomes, you know, amazing, right? Because it has all these cool systems, and there's, like, this level of complexity, and there's so much going on. But then, you know, think about like a game like, you know, Counter-Strike, where, you know, pretty simple, straightforward. But, you know, when you start to get into it more, there is like a high level of complexity, too, like that you can kind of master, like, you know, the recoil types and learning like different smokes on the map and nade spots. So, like, I always think like that is kind of like the ideal like situation for, you know, any game. But, you know, it's hard to nail down. So I'm hoping, like you kind of mentioned, like maybe there's different types of builds that can be a little bit easier. Again, I think of, like, you know, comparing PoE to Diablo 4 kind of on different spectrums of, you know, Diablo 4 sometimes can be maybe a little too easy, right? There's not enough to differentiate yourself and like your specialization sometimes, versus PoE, which is kind of like in the exact opposite. There's too much going on. Like, so there's a massive barrier to entry that, like, you kind of have to rely on, like, outside help, guides, stuff like that. So, I don't know. I, it's hard to tell just from looking at it without getting to like dig in and look through the abilities and see how everything functions and like how many skill points do you get and things like that. But it seemed like just looking at it, like it didn't seem so bad where like I was like, oh my god. Like when you just look at like the PoE like skill points and like systems and tree and all that stuff that you're putting points into, it's like, holy crap, this is insane. I didn't feel that. So I think that's a good thing. And it didn't look so easy that it was like, okay, well then this is gonna be too simple. So I don't know. I'm excited to dig into it a little bit more, but from now, you know, for at the moment, just again looking from what we saw from the video, like seemed okay. I think it's gonna be, I think right now maybe it's like in the middle, but I guess we'll kind of see how it plays out in Alpha 2.
Yeah, it's too soon to really tell because lot of these classes are just, you know, we don't even have, you know, like I said, we didn't even mix them with all the other. We don't even have the other archetypes mixed in with them. It was kind of just kind of think showing up the default fighter.
Yeah.
From what we saw. So, yeah.
We didn't get to see different weapons either, too. So, like, we have no idea, like, how different a one-hander, like, long sword type, like, fighter plays versus the two-hander, too. So, like, that could be massively different for all we know.
Yeah, that, too. So, like I said, we're just going off of what we see. And, again, hopefully throughout Alpha 2 we can really see how these how much it changes between the beginning of Alpha 2 and the end and towards the end, because that'd be great to do like a podcast then.
I think it's come a long way just from like watching earlier videos to now. Like, man, like I don't know, like I thought like the visual effects, the VFX look so good, and like just like some of the animations look like amazing. So that was really just cool to see, like seeing that like progress in a good way.
That's I mean, well, I think Alpha 1 was on Unreal 4, and that's what you get from the jump from UE4 to UE5 is just, and they also showed off destructible, like more like he was destroying props in the world. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention that.
That's true, the destructibility. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute, but
yeah. But definitely like I don't know, and like I know it sounds silly, but like even though visual effects technically, you know, doesn't matter in terms of like the strength of the class, and animations don't, but like I don't know, for me it's always been like animations and like visual effects can really add to like the feel and like the power of the class, and so like getting to see like that be at a really high level was really exciting for me, cuz like, I just, there, you know, certain games, like, you know, if a game doesn't have good animations or the visual effects are bad, like, even if the gun or the weapon or whatever it is you're using is strong, it just doesn't feel the same as well. So just getting to see that be at a pretty high level was really cool, honestly.
Well, yeah, you want it to feel weight. You want exactly, it to feel yeah, like, weight. Like when he was casting Cataclysm, right? He had this big windup and then you saw this big boom and like particles and stuff flying everywhere. And like, you want that because it makes it feel like, you know, like, whoa, that was, I just cast a big ability and you can actually feel it. Well, not even just feel it, but, you know, see it. Like, you want to see that because that matters a lot in I think in any game.
Yeah. And what about, okay, so this adds to that whole feeling too. Like the sound effects, like I thought we got to hear a lot of sound. We're going to talk about like the group combat and stuff like that soon, but just, you know, a lot of the sounds and like how things feel makes like a massive difference, like for how like a weapon or a class or something that feels. And I thought they were just getting to hear like the weapons, the abilities, like they sounded really good.
Yeah, they definitely amped up their game in the sound effects department. I also kind of want to mix animation a little bit in this too, because I wanted to point out a couple things that I noticed. Like when you cast the kind of like snare ability that they showed off, I thought it was really cool when like he actually did like a low, like kind of like, he lowered his sword and kind of like chopped at the other player's legs when he did the snare ability. I thought that was really cool. Like, it's just not like a generic animation. It's like an actual animation. He's like, I need to slow you down. I'm going to slice at your legs. I thought that was really cool. That was probably coolest thing I noticed. What was one of the coolest animation / sound effects you noticed?
Man, there's a lot of good ones. I like the, I don't remember the name of the ability, but it was something like that. It kind of like cast out in a cone and it was like these like spikes or something kind of like came out of the ground. Like
Cataclysm.
Cataclysm. Okay. That's what it was. Yeah. That was definitely, I think my favorite. There's some other good ones too, like where you kind of got to see like the blade. They're like more simple, but like to see like the blade kind of like swipe across, or there was some like color to it. So there's a lot of good ones. Yeah, cleave.
And I want to mention, I'm sorry, the ability I was talking about where you do the snare on them and he chops it, it's called crippling blow. Sorry about that.
No, that's good. So yeah, a lot of really cool stuff. Maybe, I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting too. This is like a small tidbit that I wanted to throw into that I thought was kind of interesting, you know, from like a PvP perspective too, because he had, and again, I really need to like write down the names of abilities because I don't know. I guess I was just so engrossed in like watching them. I don't remember most of their names, but there was like the ability that was like kind of like a finisher ability, right? That does like, I think like extra damage or something like that. Like when you're like, when they're low on health. But like the fact that like, you don't 100% know what somebody's health is like when you're in PvP. So like he was kind of talking, one of the developers was talking about like, can be a little bit of a gamble, like, cause you don't know their exact health. You don't know if it's going to trigger because they may not be low enough on health. So like, that's going to be kind of an interesting dynamic too. Like, not knowing exactly what, you know, their health is, or not knowing exactly, like, is this the right time to use the ability? I don't know. So that'll be cool too.
Yeah,
I like it.
So not seeing another player's health in PvP can, I'll give you one reason why it's annoying. Well, what you just said.
Yeah, and
it's, you don't want to spam your so-called execute ability, but it also means that, you know, you got to coordinate more, right? You just can't see their health bars, so like, you got to coordinate more in PvP if you can't see the player you're attacking's health bar because you don't know what his health is. It does add, I would say there's good things and bad things, but I would say the good things do outweigh the bad things in this scenario, because at least from a World of Warcraft perspective, and I did Rated Battlegrounds in that, you would just train one person and then swap all the time based on whatever's lower, and you would literally have add-ons yelling at you like, this guy's lower health, switch to him, and it would like auto target, and like, I don't like that stuff in PvP. So not having health bars in PvP, like I said, I think is a good thing, but I guess I gotta kind of see how it plays out, because like, I've never actually, I guess it feels like more like a FPS game, like, because you don't see health bars when you're playing like Tarkov or whatever.
Right,
like
right.
you can hear visually that they're low on health, maybe because you shot them in the leg or whatever.
Or
but,
like sound, you can like hear them like breathing and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess they could do ways like that, but you know, I think it's a good thing to try out. I PvP and see how the no health bar thing works out, because I am very interested in it.
Yeah, and one other visual effect thing too. I thought it was actually, maybe it was a little bit too much, but I thought it was really cool, which was, he was like, you know, there was like a character he hit and he had a bleed effect on him, and he was just like gushing blood. So like, I thought that was like, I hope that there is, maybe it was a little over the top, but I'm not opposed to that. Like, I like the idea of like, you know, making it more immersive in the sense that, like, you know, if I cast or if I put a bleed effect on somebody, it's not like I'm, oh, I got to look up at their nameplate or whatever.
Yeah, their debuff bar. And wow, you'd have to look at their debuff bar.
Yeah,
but
like,
no, I think, I'm just going to say, I think it was too over the top, but I do think there should be a good effect. They should just tone it down a little bit.
It definitely was, but like, maybe that, but a little bit more toned down where you can actually see, like, you know, the visual effect of like, oh yeah, they definitely got bleed on them, you know what I mean? So it's like stuff like that is, I think, really not only more immersive, but I mean it's easier. Like, I don't have to like move my eyes up to, you know, a debuff bar or whatever, or wherever you may be putting it. So like, that's kind of a cool thing too, just in terms of visual effects. So I hope we get to see more of that, without, you know, because visual effects are, it can be scary. You know, if you put too many in, then it can get kind of overwhelming and hard to tell what's going to happen. So, but I thought they did a good job with all that. We're going to talk a little bit about, like, because obviously the fighter was a big focus, but there was other stuff happening. Like, they kind of dove into like some, like a lot of group combat, actually. I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to like kind of wrap up talking about, like the fighter and kind of everything that got shown before we move into that.
Not really. I think the biggest thing they showed with the fighter that was cool was the the crazy mobility you could do with, like, if you jump and blitz, you can charge someone on a cliff. You can do that leap ability up from lower ground to higher ground. You can kind of do that in World of Warcraft, but it's not, I don't think it's as crazy as this game. Those were the, and like I said, the VFX and the fluidity was, it was decent, but it is pre-alpha. It needs to be better, obviously, but like I said, you got to start from a good base, and then it'll get better throughout alpha 2. So I think they have a good base of, and I think the fighter from what they've shown is pretty good from what they've shown.
Yeah, it looks really just fun to watch, which I think is, that's half the battle. But no, I think it was a really good showcase of just the archetype. I'm curious to see. I love mobility in games, so I love like RPGs, FPSs, whatever. So the fighter had some good mobility. The ranger had some really good mobility, supposedly. And this is kind of the one of the classes I'm interested in. The rogue is supposed to have the best mobility, so I'm interested to, according to Steven. So I'm excited to see the rogue and see. Hopefully, there's a lot of cool mobility with them too. Group combat. All right. So that was that. So they showed off all the abilities, and they're like, all right, let's go like kind of into like a new area, I guess they've been working on. And they were just, they had like a little like a multi-part quest that was going on, and we got to see some group combat. So it was, Steven as the fighter. Obviously, there was a mage as well. And then I think there was a cleric and then maybe a tank as well. I don't know if I'm missing anyone else,
There
but
was only four. There was a tank,
okay.
healer, Steve as a fighter, and a mage.
And I thought it looked really good. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's some fine-tuning things, but like I thought it looked fun. Like, it looked cool. There's a lot of effects going on. It never felt like really overwhelming in terms of like, even though the wizard was casting like Blizzard, which looked really cool. I didn't feel like, oh, my screen, there's too much going on. And I don't know. I thought it looked really crisp, and things like that too. So I don't know how you felt about it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was too much going on screen, which is good because you don't want a lot of clutter. So that was one positive. Yeah, the second positive was, yeah, you could see the mage. Like I said, we're going to talk about everything we saw in this group combat along with the fighter, but the mage, the Blizzard animation was incredible. What else? The fighter, just jumping all over the place, whirlwinding, AoEing.
I know you like the
Doing heavy
res
day,
too, the res
yeah.
mode.
They cat, yeah. When they were in the early parts of the video, when he was fighting the tank to show off the abilities, he killed him, and then they rezzed him, and that animation was incredible. But from what I saw in the group combat, it did not. They pulled a lot of mobs, but it did not feel overwhelming to me. It felt like they did have a death, right, which is normal if you're gonna pull a million mobs, you know. I mean, I think that's expected. I think Steve wants Ashes to like to be a little punished, and he doesn't want you to pull like entire camps without, being on your toes, which is normal. But from what I saw, like I said, from the visual standpoint and like I said, the combat standpoint, it looked good. It and then I it obviously is still early, but and then they had the mobs they were fighting, which were goblins and some wolves. And I thought it was the sounds were incredible. Like the goblins, when they were about to do a big wind up whirlwind attack, they would like yell or something. And I thought that was really cool. What else? Oh, you could actually destroy, like I said, we're talking about, you could destroy the props. So like you walk into the goblin camp, right? You got an LOS issue. So just destroy their tent and then you can shoot or charge or blitz through it. So no more LOS issue, just destroy the damn tent in the way.
No,
So
that's great.
that makes interesting gameplay. That to me by far was the coolest thing, is like in World of Warcraft, nothing is destructible unless they actually set it to that. So like being out in the open world and going into an enemy camp and being like, this thing's in my way, it's making LOS problems for me, I'm just gonna destroy
Yeah,
it.
no, I mean, that's
That's
good.
big.
I'm curious to see how, like, because I mean, they killed some tents and stuff like that. I'm curious to see if it is more like widespread. Like, can you knock down a tree or something? If you're battling in a forest or things like that, and how in depth is it going to go? And like, can it make it Can you knock off like a boulder that's, above and maybe hit some enemies with that, or things like that. Like, is it going to make any like a bigger impact like on combat? Is it more like you said, just kind of clearing out some LOS stuff? So that's always like, and then immediately my head goes to like mechanics, like how fast does that building respond? Stuff like that. And
Well, they said how long. It says about 10 minutes for
okay.
props to respawn. But and then you brought up like knocking off bolt. So in the last video, they did show off like a mage using lightning spells, and then the weather changing and affecting combat. I don't think they really went how they did not go like outside of LOS reasons. I don't really know how far the prop system really goes for combat. I don't think they really showed off more of just like destroying like the goblin huts, so they it wasn't in your way anymore. But those are cool theories or ways they could expand on it, I guess. And like you said, chop down trees, like maybe you're fighting a big boss or something, and like you LOS behind the tree, but the boss is like, "Nah, I'm gonna swipe that tree," and the tree falls over, and then you're kind of screwed and stuff like that.
So there could be that would be cool. Like anything that adds like another layer, I'm all for. Like we have seen some environmental effects, not so much like knocking over trees, boulders to make an impact, but we've seen the weather, like you mentioned, like lightning coming down affecting like the combat and stuff like that. One thing that was kind of
Well, we haven't seen combat knocking over trees. They do
no,
knock over when you harvest them, but we haven't seen actual combat physically or weather affect them, like so.
yep.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see.
Definitely. One thing that was kind of interesting too that I thought, and this kind of relates to group combat as well, is they mentioned when they were kind of talking about like weapon skills and things like that, like there was like the potential for like I kind of like thought of it like they didn't call it this, but like co-op like builds where like a mage is specced into fire and like the fighter like using their mastery like is doing like fire damage and like how maybe that like they can kind of like play off each other or benefit each other like. Like that sounds really cool to me. Like that could be like a whole another level of like depth. Like maybe even take it to like another level where it's not maybe not just one person that you're like doing this kind of co-op build with. Imagine like a whole like group like in PvP. Like hey, we're the I don't know. I'm just making stuff up, but like we're the ice build. We all have like ice abilities that play off each other, and then we can like slow people down. Like that's our thing. So like I'd be curious to see like if there is that much like of a depth to it, or is it more just like on a simple level? Like the burn effect is up. That means like I can use an ability that gets extra damage or something like that. So that'll be kind of like cool to see if there's more to it, or if it's more like at a basic level as well.
Yeah, I'm not like I do like this stuff, but again, it really depends how meta it gets. Like you said, like for all you know, is like you could have a ranger, rogues, and maybe even other classes do like, maybe they all go like poisony stuff, and like maybe it's too strong, and they just melt bosses or something, and it's like that's a lot of balance to think about. But I do like this how like there is synergy between like a melee class and a ranged class, which is a positive,
No,
obviously.
and they did
But
mention too, because I want to just say like they are thinking about that, because I think it was like after the kind of like the actual fighter showcase, like they did mention like yeah, like we're thinking about like can't have like too many debuffs like on a boss, so maybe like we can't like stack too much fire or whatever, so like they are thinking about that stuff too, which is good.
yeah, because again, like I said, if people can find a something that's gonna break it, they're gonna abuse it. I mean, that's just literally how it is. So, it'll be interesting to see how it works, especially in PvP, because not many. I mean, there's synergies in PvP for like World of Warcraft, but it's nowhere near the depth of what this system could provide, in my opinion.
I mean, it sounds fun to me. Like, I mean, I would love to, like, I love the idea of like, me and you doing like a combo build of like something to like really powerful, or maybe like hey, we're doing like a fire build for leveling up, and we're doing PvP like a lightning, so like there's a lot of potential, like again, just another layer. But yeah, obviously like the meta stuff is going to be really important, because if lightning plays really well off each other, then everyone's just gonna and your whole guild is gonna go lightning, or have like lightning effects or something. So kind of figuring that out and making sure there's like different benefits to different like specs and like abilities and stuff like that's going to be really important as well.
Yeah, because like you said, like if you have a large raid and everyone's just stacking like you say lightning damage because it, chains together with all the people in their thing, like then that kind of disincentivizes people to play fire. So they may have to put some hard caps on it
For
in
sure.
terms of how many people can take advantage of it. So to encourage, the else, and then we didn't even get to like we don't even know much about it. But also, I just wanted to bring up. All these classes have a thing called augments, so
Yep.
you can kind of like even add more depth to your abilities and customize them even further, which we haven't even seen anything of yet.
Yeah. They
So
did mention it, but I don't think there was much kind of like showcased, at least.
I am very interested. Like, I hope they do an augment showcase. Like, I don't know if it'll be there at Alpha 2 launch, but I really want to see where they go with this because it's like. I'm gonna compare it because we're talking about the fighter is like you said about the burn and blade thing. It's like, well, what if you could just be like a
Yeah,
firefighter, right? You just like
firefighter.
all your abilities are just fire. Like you cast Whirlwind and it's just like a maybe it turns into a big old fire tornado and you're just like melting everything around you. So I mean, I want to see this augment stuff bad.
Also, on top of that we haven't even seen again. I don't think they've shown any of like the secondary archetypes, which again turns your primary. Again, we did a podcast last week on kind of like class overviews and. You have a primary archetype, which you start out as, and then you add a secondary archetype, and then that gives you your class. And there's like, I think, 64 different options. And so I don't think any of the classes that have been showcased have actually shown like the true class, which is, the primary and the secondary. So that's supposed to add, I guess, the way that they talked about it, I think they talked about it a little bit this time, like that kind of like augments certain abilities as well on top of maybe these other augments. So I don't know if those are like what they're talking about, or there's like an additional thing. So like, there's a lot of things we haven't seen yet, which again is probably just going to further increase like in the different layers and levels and things that can kind of like stack and affect each other. So that could be another thing too to be thinking about as well.
Exactly. We've only seen the base class of all the classes. We have not seen any of the combinations yet. And we know for a fact in Alpha 2, they're not all going to be there. We don't even know. It's like he said at the end of the stream, like they still haven't nailed down how many are going to be there in Alpha 2 at launch. So we're probably not going to have all of them at an Alpha 2 launch. Maybe by the end of it, we might. But yeah, give me those battle mages.
And this is totally random again, and totally off topic because it was mentioned during the stream. But when they were talking about like mana, I should have mentioned this when we were talking about mana earlier. But they're like, man, like he was like, we need like a bard so like we can get our mana up. So like that sounds like a pretty cool role for like the bard too. Like maybe they can. Sure, they'll do like buffs and stuff like that, but they can also get your mana up, so that's something to think about too. So get those bards in your groups.
I think that was a tease. Like, I think they might. I don't think they're doing. They might do Bard next month. I don't think they will, but it's possible. But I think he was throwing out a little tease there. And it kind of reminds me of how. I guess you. I don't want to. I'm just going to call it music classes. I know it's weird, but. In Dark Ages of Camelot, they had. I played a minstrel, and I had, like, songs I could play to help with mana regen or health regen and stuff. That's what it sounded like to me. So that's.
Which is cool, right? Every again, the goal. My hope is that every class fulfills like a useful role, and so I'm hopeful that like every class is useful, and maybe it's situational, but getting to hear a little about the bard is pretty cool because that's also another class I'm interested in, on top of many others. The fighter again, recency bias, but man, the fighter looked really cool too. But it'll be interesting to see. I want to see that rogue as well. How that plays out. Is there anything else? Like, is there anything new that you kind of noticed you want to chat about, or just anything in general as we kind of wrap up here?
Now there's gonna be, like I said, it was a really long stream, so there was a couple things new I noticed that other people might not have noticed, and it could have been in prior videos, but I just might not have caught on it. I did notice when they were killing mobs, you could see the rarity of the items drop. Like it would be white if it was just a generic item, green if it was what uncommon, blue rare, and probably follows the same path as most games. So I did notice that. I don't Like I said, I don't know if that was in prior videos, but that was one cool little thing I noticed. And the sound effects were crazy good.
Yeah, the goblins. like sounded pretty cool.
They were, yeah, that was probably the biggest surprise. I would say out of everything that they showed, if we just take the fighter out of the whole video, right? I think the sound effects were probably the biggest thing in that video that I noticed upgraded wise.
I like too how, like, even though this was like the fighter archetype video, like, you know, it, I think this shows how far the game is coming in development, right? Not just like these small slices, like, oh, let's look at the freehold, and like it's kind of very controlled. It's like, no, they're going out and they're like doing quests, so we get to see like some of the quest system. We're getting to see some of the group combat. We're getting to see, you know, like sound effects and like all these different things now on top of getting to see like the fighter specifically. So to me, that's a good sign, right? Because that means like there's a lot of systems being implemented and being developed on top of, you know, obviously the seems like a big focus right now is like the archetypes. So.
Well, yeah, but yeah, the big focus does seem like the archetypes right now, but also we can, it seems like after each new dev stream, we're seeing significant progress in like other things, like definitely. I said, sound, or maybe not UI, but you know, maybe visual things. I mean, it's like you're noticing video after video significant progress.
Yeah.
In the charge towards Alpha 2, and it from what they said in this last video, they are really, really trying to hit that Q3 release date, which is July, beginning of July till the end of September.
Yeah.
So, it's based on what we saw in this video, it seems like they may hit that. I don't really see, like, they may not, there might not be a delay for Alpha 2 start, which is, yeah. I think they do kind of want to get it out there because they know, you know, it's been a while. They need to kind of, you know, get this game, even though it's an alpha, into the hands of people so they can really start honing everything in, because no matter how good you are as a developer, until you get the game into the hands of players, you really can't start, you know, doing what you want with it, because you know players are your best testers. They will break everything.
Yeah. And I think it gives me a lot of hope, because like just in terms of like them being in the game, like the stream itself was like 3 hours, which is crazy. And them being in the game, like actually playing stuff, was like an hour and a half. So like that to me is a good sign. The fact that they can jump in the game and like, sure, I'm sure it was like a controlled environment, right? They were in a certain area. They were doing like a certain quest probably. And so like, yes, there is elements of that, but like just the fact that like they can kind of hop in the game, they can like have some group combat, they can like do a little bit of a quest, you know, they can have like setbacks, like where someone died, and like still play the game. Like it's an actual game, I think is really promising, hopefully for that Q3 release window. At least I think so.
Yeah, and Steve also said they have the Phoenix Initiatives, which is a bunch of, I'm not sure exactly who the people are, but they're, you can see them tagged in the official Discord, but they bring them onto the servers over time. They said, like, people were noticing FPS issues, right,
yeah.
in the thing, and they're like, well, literally next week we're going to have our Phoenix Initiative log into the servers and play the game a bit to try to figure out where these FPS issues are happening to kind of fix it up before Alpha 2 launch. So they're doing the right things. Like I said, it's an alpha. Like the point of an alpha is the game's not finished. So the fact that they're thinking about some optimization and stuff already means that they are gearing up towards launching Alpha. Too. And I do think they may hit it on time. There could be a slight delay, maybe a month or two, but I do think they want it out before the end of 2024 based on what I'm seeing. I'm just giving my opinion. It may not happen, but based on what I'm seeing, I do think we're going to hit Alpha 2 before 2025, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I thought the performance wasn't like terrible. Like we've both seen gameplay from games, whether it's like, you know, like a gameplay reveal or something, that we're both gonna like, well, the performance looks really bad. Like I didn't think it looked terrible. Now I'm sure they're using a beefy computer, but like I thought it looked okay. And also that you mentioned, like that is a focus, and they said that, you know, Steven talked about how, like, you know, normally this, you know, in alphas, you know, this isn't a focus, right? We're just focused on You know, getting in new features and gameplay and all that good stuff. But because we know Alpha 2 needs to be at least like somewhat playable, like this is something that like we are going to dive into. Like we want to get some optimization and things, you know, ready to go for that. So, but I didn't think, you know, you're more the expert. You're the hardware guy, like more so than me. But I thought the performance wasn't too bad overall.
It wasn't ideal either, but again, I don't know the specs of their computer. I don't know anything. I don't know what, like, were they using a current dev build where maybe it wasn't fully fleshed out yet? I mean, they're aware of issue. They're aware of it, right?
Yeah.
They're aware that the FPS can get a bit low. They're aware of some optimization issues. And the fact that they want better optimization in an alpha says a lot to me, because if I have a better, if I can play the game with more fluidity, right, that means I can test the game better.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're never going to have a perfect performance, right?
No.
It's just, it's not going to be, you're not going to be getting perfect FPS. You're going to have frame drops all through, like, when Alpha 2 launches. But you want to get to the point where people can actually play the game decently.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going to get it to that point when Alpha 2 launches, hopefully, and then, you know, they'll further optimize as we, as they keep going.
And
so,
most UE5, Unreal Engine 5 games typically are pretty, in terms of, like, specs required, pretty beefy. Not all of them, obviously. Like, Fortnite, UE5 game, not that crazy needed, but a lot of them are, and so it is kind of, I think, like, a beefier engine, so... And I think you could see that, like, in the they release, like, the kind of recommended specs and stuff like that. So, you know, it'll be ongoing process. They also mentioned, like, working on, like, the network synchronization, stuff like that, as being a big deal, which is really good, right? Obviously, that makes a massive difference in a MMO, especially. So we'll kind of see how that plays out too. But yeah, I mean, overall, like, very impressed. A lot of cool things that we got to see. Like, we dug into, like, the weapon mastery. We obviously got to see deep dive the fighter, group combat. So lots of cool things. Okay, one more thing, too. And this was kind of one thing I noticed, because Steven mentioned, I think it was at the beginning of the dev stream, before they actually went into the gameplay, which I thought was kind of interesting. Because you are going to be able to potentially kill players and, like, take some of their loot, which is not usually, I think, that typical in MMO. But he did kind of mention, I think, like, that, like, you might only get, like, 20 to 30% of a stack of loot, like, so maybe, like, resources and things like that. So, like, I thought that was kind of interesting. And then he did talk a little bit about, like, experience debt. Like, and I thought my favorite thing, I should have wrote it down as, like, an actual quote, but he said, like, we don't want Ashes of Creation to be really easy, and, like, we don't want it to necessarily appeal to everyone, right? And so I think I love that personally. I love games that are really kind of, like, more challenging and maybe not, like, trying to appeal to everyone, but more like a certain group or type of players as well. But, like, to me, that's really exciting to hear. Like, you know, the game's going to be hard. It's not meant to be, like, you know, like, we played Retail WoW, like, a few months ago, and, like, like, you know, obviously you were an experienced player, you had, like, you know, a good character and stuff like that, but still, even with that, like, I think we, like, hit max level in, like, what, 2 days or something like that. It was like, it felt like it was like a piece of cake, and so, like, I'm hoping it is more challenging, it is more difficult. It's not going to be an easy game. You're gonna have to deal with stuff like EXP dead and, you know, losing stuff, like, through PvP. So that's to me, that's fun to hear. I know probably not everyone is excited to hear that, but I like games that are more challenging in that way.
I kind of agree, but I just hope it's not too punishing. Like,
oh yeah, of course. There's always, like,
I don't want to die a million. Yeah, I don't want, like you said, 3 to 4% per low. I personally, I'm not a fan of, like, having an XP debt when I die. I mean, that's just me. I mean, it is an alpha. He could change his mind.
He did say it could be mitigated by the res ability too a bit. So that is something to, like, you know, get your clerics.
Yeah, again, no one's ever going to be 100% satisfied with a game. I really, like I said, it doesn't sound, like I said, you said you couldn't drop stuff. I'm not sure, like, hopefully you don't drop your actual gear, because that's kind of, to me, Yeah, if you drop resources, I'm not too. That doesn't bother me too much, but if I drop my actual character's gear, that will probably bother me. That's a little too far,
Yeah, I
in
mean, I
my
think the fact
opinion.
that he mentioned, like, the fact there's actual number of like 20 to 30% of a stack loot probably says to me that it's got to be more like resources. He also said it's depending on the bags you're using, so like you can maybe like reduce how much you're losing of certain resources in the bags in the game. This might be a good topic to dive into, is because there's like different types of bags and like loot management and stuff like that, and they can make a difference. So it didn't say. I would be very surprised if it was gear, unless they really truly are all in on. Like player run economy, it's like, oh, I gotta go buy some more gear real fast, or I need to stock up on gear. But yeah, I think him mentioning like the 20 to 30% like of loot being dropped probably means more like resources or things like that.
Probably resource. Yeah, I don't like. There is a market for people who like, losing all your gear when you die, but
That's
I
me.
feel like that's a. Yeah, I feel like it's a very small market that likes that.
I think an MMO it
And.
wouldn't be great, but in games like
No, because.
Tarkov and stuff like that works, obviously.
Yeah, it's an MMO. It's all about constant progression. So if you're constantly pulling the player back all the time because they lose all their gear or. Lose all their levels and stuff. I mean, like I said, I get what he's saying. Like, he's not trying to go after World of Warcraft or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He's not trying to go after these specific games or players or whatever. And which is fine. Like, make your game what it's good at, and I think that's fine. But I still think you can have it balanced enough where you can have a variety of players. Like he talked about the P. He did a thing at the end about PvP where it's like. You can't technically fully avoid PvP in this game, but you can do things to like avoid it heavily, right? So if you don't like PvP, you can heavily avoid it. It's not 100%. There's always that small chance someone will be out there and they'll gank you, but there are things you can do to stay away from it a lot, right? So I guess that would be
And I think
we just gotta see how it works.
I think he confirmed, like he said that it got brought up that there's not going to be PvP or PvE servers. I think it's just all one the same type of server. So, and I
Yeah,
think they've kind of alluded
PVX.
to PvX, and they've obviously alluded to that a lot, but it was never like they never officially said like, okay, there's going to be PvP servers, PvE servers. So hopefully you're into a little bit of PvP maybe at least. And like I think like there is going to be a lot of different specializations and things. Like there's probably going to be like you can just be a crafter like if you want to some effect, or you can just be a PvPer. And like so there I think there's a lot of roles for people. But I do like the idea that it is like there's kind of like this saying sometimes you hear, it's like, if you're making a game for everybody, then really it's for nobody. And I definitely agree with that. Like if you're trying to appease everybody, then like then eventually nobody's going to be happy. So by focusing on like, hey, this is going to be a challenging game, there is going to be PvP, right? And like you said, you can maybe like avoid it in certain cases, and there is going to be PvE that maybe you have to participate in or something like that. But I think that's a good thing, like having, knowing that like, hey, we're not gonna like, this game is not gonna be maybe it's not gonna be World of Warcraft in terms of popularity, but it could still have like a really strong user base that love the game and play it and stick with it too, because it does a lot of things really well.
That I'm fine with that. Like, I don't need 7 million, people playing my game. Like, if 7 million people play Ashes, that's fine. But like, I just want a game that's good at what it does. And WoW has struggled with that for a long time because, so,
Yeah, WoW was kind of like the ultimate, like sometimes
try to appease everybody, but
it's sometimes it's too
they end up
casual.
failing.
Yeah, I think it had like, and I love, WoW just a great MMO, but as a PvP first player, like to me it doesn't feel like WoW is for me. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. The thing is, I don't think WoW any like modern WoW. I don't think is really friendly to new players anymore. The game has become. I'm not trying to diss WoW. I played it 19 years. It's a huge part of my
Yeah,
life.
it's a
But
great game.
what I'm gonna try and what I'm trying to say here about Ashes is like and like WoW in general is like Blizzard has tried really hard to appease to a lot of different types of players, soloers, dungeon people who like to grind dungeons, raiders. But in the end of the day, all the systems they designed ended up benefiting the highest end players first because they designed these systems for people who may not be those high end players, but in the end result was like, well, high end players still got most of the benefit out of it. So
yeah.
I think the way Ashes is going is it seems like a MMO you want to dedicate a good chunk of time to, but it doesn't sound like Steve wants it to be like, you know, oh my God, you have to play it 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
Before, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
sounds like he wants a challenge. He doesn't want it to be a walk in the park. Kind of like, it kind of reminds me of Vanilla WoW. It's a walk in the park in 2024, but it wasn't back then. So I guess if he can kind of hit that tone, kind of, I think he'd be in a good spot.
Yeah. You know, I think it's always like interesting because like I've been a very big proponent of like, yeah, like there should be a lot of different types of roles. Like if you just want to be the crafter, if you just want to be the PvPer, if you just want to be like the PvE person, like, you know, but again, at the same time, like, you know, you may not appease everyone. And maybe that's where the game where it's going into, like, you know, it is going to be more difficult. It's not going to be as friendly in some way. And I know you mentioned retail WoW isn't as friendly. I think it's more like retail WoW maybe isn't as friendly. As somebody who, like, not too long ago after not playing it for years and years and years, like, it's so overwhelming in the sense of, like, wow, I've got, like, you know, 6 hotbars and, like, a billion abilities and, like, you know, I'm leveling up, like, in a day and, like, it's just too much, right? You know, there's no, like, natural progression, like, through, like, your class and kind of learning it slowly. And that was what I think Classic WoW did really well. And so, you know, maybe the fact that Ashes is going to be a little bit more difficult in that sense. And he mentioned, you know, being more difficult, which causes players to be more, like, thoughtful and, like, critically think and, like, be strategic, which I love. Like, that's what I love about Tarkov so much is, because it is so difficult, you really have to think about things and, like, really make, like, big decisions and things like that you kind of do throughout the game. And so, like, to me, that's going to make it better, even though it may turn off some people that, you know, maybe it is a little bit too challenging in some ways.
Yeah, it's a difficult balance because you always are trying to get people to stay playing the game. And then if numbers drop, you want to lure new people to the game, right?
Right.
So it's a never-ending battle. So it's
truly
like every game does it different, and
yeah.
I guess we'll see how they do it because
yeah.
It's too early to know now. We got some bare bones information. So like I said, Alpha 2 should probably be the biggest idea, at least initially, of what
yeah.
they want from the game. It might not be the full game, right?
No,
but at least from the it'll be what their vision for the game was before players get to it, and then they start changing it based on what players think. So,
and they are looking for early feedback and stuff like that too, I will say, because they always have like the forum posts and some other ways you can kind of interact with people, maybe office hours they have in Discord and stuff like that. So they are, to be fair, they are still looking, you know, for feedback based on just like what you see. And like Steven was asking questions like during the stream, like, hey, like, what do you all think about this and like going forward? And so like that's a good thing, right? Thinking about that stuff now, hopefully can, you know, they don't make this thing for Alpha 2 that's like way off base of what, you know, the community is hopefully wanting. But you're definitely right that like Alpha 2, because we can actually get our hands onto it, dig into it and see what they've done, is going to be the biggest you know, kind of way to see what their vision is. And I mean, I'll just be honest, I'm just excited. I this is probably like, even though like the fighter maybe isn't the archetype I'm probably going to play, like I just, you're getting to see everything kind of come together, and you know, the group combat and all these other things that were going on, like, was really exciting. I thought, like, I'm even more hyped for the game now, just getting to see all that kind of unfold before us.
Yeah, and before we end the, like, start wrapping up the podcast, I want to say, like, what we saw from the fighter is based on what they took on feedback. They said the biggest problem with Alpha 1 was the combat, and here's what they did. They changed it significantly, too, so...
Yeah,
they do listen, which is good. Like I said, you might not agree with some of the things like XP death and all these other things that you might think are silly, but that doesn't mean it won't change. I mean, a majority of players might get an Alpha 2 and they like I said, they set the baseline and players are like, this is ridiculous. And then Steve might be like, yeah, Steve might be like, you know what? It is too punishing. We're going to remove the XP on death. Maybe we'll try something else. I mean, these are what our alphas are for. And like I said, the fighter preview we saw was a huge step forward. We saw a lot We're seeing the game evolve, and like I said, when Alpha 2 hits, it's going to be messy because there's going to be a lot of systems in there that are going to be unfriendly or broken or whatever, but that's when we got to tell them, hey, you know, come on now, this is silly. You know, change this or give them a better idea. I mean, you know, constructive feedback. So, like, you don't like the XP on death penalties? Tell them why.
Yeah.
Tell them why.
They were open to it. Like, Steven was like, I mean, you can say it's, like, bad and, like, tell us, but, you know, tell us, give us a specific thing, like, that, you know, that we can kind of, like, focus on and work on. So,
exactly.
That's pretty cool. And community feedback is, like, I think more developers are realizing it. Like, it's so powerful. You know, Baldur's Gate 3 is one of the best RPGs that's come out. And it was single-player RPG, obviously. Well, some multiplayer, but not MMO. And one of the things people forget about it, like, that I think got it to being that, is, like, they had early access for, like, I think it was, like, 5 years. So it was a really long time. And, like, you know, people were able to test stuff and play stuff, and they took a lot of feedback in, like, about certain things. And that made a big difference. And, like, even, like, Diablo 4 right now, like, I know there's a lot of people hyped up for, I think it's Season 4. Because, like, they've constantly, even though, you know, maybe started out a little bit difficult, they've constantly been taking, like, player feedback, and so I know a lot of people that are really excited for this season, because it finally seems like it's almost gonna be like a new game based on all the feedback they've kind of taken in and kind of adjusted based on what players were saying.
And that, yeah, and it's, yeah, I know this podcast, we're going into, like, way off topic here.
Go deep.
I still think it's relevant, though, but I think people need to always have tempered expectations. And Diablo 4 is an example of Blizzard designing a really good campaign, and then the game completely flops once you get to end game. Like, it went,
you like boring. Dungeons?
It was really, yeah, it was really boring. And, like I said, people meme all the time, like, if you just go into Diablo, like, I watched the Season 4 stream. I know I'm going off topic here, but people were just in there spamming D4 bad. They didn't even care if Season 4 was going to be better or not. Like, if you go into, like I said, when we were watching the Ashes thing, people were, like, constantly saying the FPS were not good. We know. I mean, saying that isn't going to change anything. Right. Like, they realize it's not good. They're going to fix it. Point out things that are constructive. They know the FPS is not good. What is wrong with a fighter that you didn't like? Okay? Like, say maybe I didn't like this, how XYZ didn't work, and then tell them why instead of saying stuff they blatantly know they can see in front of their eyes. Intrepid is different than Blizzard. Blizzard will ignore stuff in front of their eyes. Intrepid already knows there's these problems. So try to tell them things they might not see. Is what I'm saying.
And the more specific and constructive, you know, don't, you know, obviously it's just my opinion, but just like, oh, these developers suck, that doesn't, like, do anything, right? Nothing's going to change from that. But if you can give, like, hey, like, you know, have we given any thought to, like, there's going to be too many stacking debuffs, you know, with the fight? I don't know, like, just giving a random example, but, you know, stuff like that's going to get them, like, to potentially make changes versus, again, just, you know, hey, this fighter looks like crap, you know. Not that I think anyone thought that, but so there's
or here's another thing. Even if you might have not saw something wrong about the fighter, maybe you liked it a lot, give them good feedback.
Yes.
Be like, I thought this was great, and then that will boost their morale, because they're like, oh dang, they literally said this. They're like, yeah, I mean, like, tell us if we did good. Like, when they see the chat reacting, like, when I watched the live stream, people reacted really well, and that must have made the developers feel good, because they're like, thank God we showed off all our hard work, and it and the reaction was good. So now they can focus on you know, tightening up, making the animations better, more fluid, and, you know, honing it in. So
yeah, that's
give
a
them good feedback.
Point.
Yeah, give them the good feedback, tell them what's good, and then tell them what you don't think is not so good, and then, you know, have a discussion about it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. My day job, like, I have to give a lot of feedback to people. And so, like, one of the things I really try to emphasize is, you know, the constructive feedback is good. You know, if there's something that needs to be fixed, obviously needs to be fixed. But I also try to give a lot of, like, positive feedback. And, you know, I always tell people, like, you know, I'm not just giving you positive feedback because I want to, like, pat you on the back. I do. But also, like, you know, if you're doing something well, like, do more of that, you know, expand on that. Like, how can you add more of that in, like, you know, build on the things that you're doing well. And I think that was a really great point too, that you made for sure. So
yeah, it's not even about, like I said, the positive feedback can learn. They could just, you know, it will give them the idea of what they need to do, or, and maybe it could lead them into fixing things that were, you didn't like. It's like, you like the blitz ability, right? Say you like the blitz ability really well, and they're like, well, maybe I don't like Cataclysm so much. And then maybe the developers will be like, okay, you tell them blitz is awesome and why it's awesome, and then you tell them what cat, and then maybe the developers can get thinking up ideas because you gave them good criticism, or not good, you gave them good feedback, and then you gave them constructive criticism, and then they can try to blend the two together to make it work better.
And that might make, you know, making future classes better too, because then they know, like, oh, if everyone liked, you know, Blitz, then maybe we need to add some more mobility, like in some of our other classes and things like that too. So, you know, all that stuff kind of adds up cumulatively. So, I know we got a little bit off track, but again, like, I agree with you. You know, it all kind of feeds into kind of like things that we saw throughout the dev stream. Was there anything else you wanted to dig into before this pretty long podcast? But I think that's okay. I think we touched on some good stuff. Anything else you wanted to dive into before we close it out?
No, not really. I know I kind of went a little off topic today, but it all still blended in with what I was thinking about yesterday. So I just want to say, yeah, I mean, all these things still blend into what we saw yesterday. So
yeah, I mean,
I think we're in a good spot right now.
Yeah, I think it all kind of fed off of what we saw, and I think part of it is too, like, we're seeing so much more. Again, we're not just seeing like we're not just seeing like the abilities and that's it. It's, you know, we're seeing like a lot of other things, like group combat effects, and yeah, that leads into like some other, you know, discussions as well. So it all kind of builds, and I think that part of that is going a little bit more off topic is the fact that there's so much more going on now in these videos and things like that. But
which as a Ashes, as if you're listening to our podcast or anything Ashes related, which is a good thing, because we're starting to see it really shape up now. So
absolutely. So we're gonna wrap things up here. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Again, we kind of have a new format we're messing around. We're trying new things. Like, we did a little stream last week, you know, obviously it didn't work out quite how we wanted, but, you know, we're gonna be trying new things and trying things out. But much like Ashes of Creation, we're gonna experiment, and hopefully when we start getting some your all's feedback, then we can start to adjust based on what you all think too. So next week, our next topic, obviously no developer update, we're going to be talking about mounts in Ashes of Creation. For all you folks out there that like collecting mounts and riding around on mounts, there's a lot of stuff that goes into mounts in Ashes, so we're going to dig into that a little bit, which should be pretty fun. If you are, again, listening, we really appreciate it. Again, whether it's on YouTube or Spotify or Apple or whatever your preferred services, we appreciate it. On YouTube, again, subscribe, like, comment if you like to. Again, we've seen some comments pop up here and there, which is great. We'd love to hear more from you, so again, definitely drop us a comment if you have any feedback or anything that you'd like to see or hear going forward. Leave us a review if you're, you know, watching Spotify, Apple. Again, those things do kind of help us be seen a little bit. Again, one of our big goals, I think, is to kind of build a community over time here before, you know, Alpha 2 arrives, before the game arrives. So we're definitely kind of pushing that a little bit. Join us through Discord. Again, another way that you can certainly kind of be involved in the community and all those good things. Again, description below, whatever your service is, check that out. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm really excited for the game and kind of seeing what happens here. But we appreciate you all listening, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.